That track ending right there was Luke Buddha with Here Comes the Wind, and I am chatting with the man himself. Luke Buddha, good morning.
Good morning, how are you going?
Oh, very, very well, and even better now that I'm hearing your voice. How's it going?
Yeah, it's the morning. It's 8:15.
Yes.
I'm folding laundry while we speak.
So, wow.
You know, never a dull moment.
No.
In domestic life.
True that, eh? Oh, well, multitasking, kudos to you. Gosh.
Mm, thank you.
So we're here, of course, to talk about your third album. Kudos to you. How does it feel that it's finally out and about? Your baby is in the big wide world.
Yeah, well, it was a very, very, very long pregnancy, so it feels really good. Honestly, I think I sort of, well, first of all, I never really made the decision, I'm going to do a solo album now.
Mm-hmm.
I just make music all the time down in my garage/studio. And the Phoenix Foundation were taking a self-imposed hiatus after Give Up Your Dreams,
mm-hmm.
which was in 2015. And so I think that maybe, like, this album kind of started around 2017, maybe?
Oh, wow.
And it was ready. It was just about finished before the Phoenix Foundation album Friendship came out. Like, I was actually thinking that it would be out before that, but then the Phoenix just kind of took over with its many, many people and, you know, a very active and awesome manager. And I was like, okay, well, this is happening now. So it's been a long time coming.
Yes, and it's finally out. Amazing. So do you think that the album, I guess, is then a snapshot, a chapter of that part of your life? Do you sense the cohesion within the album?
Yeah, I think it's just lucky that there is cohesion, I think, even though it's not like every song sounds a bit different from the songs sound different from each other.
Mm.
But that just kind of naturally happens, I guess, if you're basically making something mostly by yourself, which is what I was doing down in the garage. And I think that, you know, we kind of pulled it back to sound like an album at the end, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, a snapshot of life. The weird thing is that both this album, which is kind of dealing with a bit of anxiety, I guess, 21st century anxiety, and also tracks on friendship, like all of those lyrics were written before the actual apocalypse hit. So I guess we already thought we were living in the apocalypse before it actually hit.
Hey, you know what I mean? If you stay anxious, you don't have to get anxious, you know?
It's like, yeah, like, yeah.
For sure.
Let's just be there the whole time.
Yes. Hey, you never know when the middle of your life is, so let's just be in perpetual crisis, you know? Exactly. So how does the, I guess, creative process differ working with a group when alone? Because you're your own soundboard. You're the only person you can bounce ideas off. So how does that differ?
Yeah, well, so I mean, each Phoenix Foundation album's been really different anyway, but Friendship mm-hmm. was kind of all of us working in our individual studios anyway, because at the time Sam lived in Auckland. So weirdly, the process was reasonably similar. It's just that I wasn't sending what I'd done off to other people to have a listen and to give some feedback,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of a week or whatever. So I'm pretty used to being in the garage by myself. Also, my day job with Sam and Con from the Phoenix Foundation is doing film and TV soundtracks, scores, right?
Yes.
So I'm literally go to the garage around 9 o'clock and work, you know, try and sort of keep as normal hours as possible. So I'm pretty used to just spending my life in the garage in front of the Pro Tools with my instrument. So it's hard for me to tell how the process differs, because everything just sort of melts into itself, you know, the Phoenix to the TV. It might be that I'm working on a TV show or something like that and I need a break, so I'll go to a fun session like Here Comes the Wind and just like play a guitar solo for a bit, and that
you know, feels like a nice break.
Yes.
From, I don't know.
That's fascinating.
Moody, intense music over somebody getting murdered.
Yeah, very fair. Very fair indeed. And the list of films is astounding. Kudos to you. So how does production for something visual differ from tunes that are going to just play through the radio and all that good stuff? Like, I've truly never talked to someone with the experience as you.
Well, one thing that I can tell you is, well, you know, it's really different because, you know, it's not really about... I mean, it's like balancing expressing your own vibe with what the actual film needs. Mm. And one thing that people might find surprising is, like, you know, so say we did a New Zealand show called The Gulf, and it's you know, like a sort of got a Scandinavian crime. You know, noir feel about it. That kind of dark music actually comes reasonably naturally. Mm-hmm. We also did a cartoon on Netflix called Skylanders, and that is really difficult because I don't know about you, but I've never imagined myself making music that's like literally the fat character walks, so the music goes bum 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 bum. You know, but you got it, but that's the job, and so making music that you maybe have no, you know, it's not like your taste or it's not what you do. It's like that's actually quite a cool, interesting exercise. So,
yeah. Oh, for sure. Gosh.
So, yeah, so it's very different, basically. It's very different.
Yes.
Just indulging your own little, I might do a funny drum machine beat on this one. Oh, that's funny. It doesn't work like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. The ha-has.
I don't know, I'm ranting because I've had two coffees, so... Sorry about that.
No, gosh, get another one in you. I want to bring it back to, I guess, the fact that when interviewing, I'm like asking you to now be cerebral and to reflect on your own process. But when you're doing it, I don't know if you're on autopilot and it's just like go, go, go. But you don't necessarily think so in your head or meta as this interview process would be. So, like, I guess, what does it mean to be truly in the zone and in your flow? And what does that look like for you?
Usually I only realize later, like when I go, oh shit, I'm actually, you know, really hungry because I haven't been thinking about anything other than this for about 5 hours and just zoning in. Yeah, it's kind of, I guess it's like, not like I go, it's not like a little alarm that goes, now you're in the zone. It's more like, oh, that was a good session. I actually just nailed some stuff there. And sometimes you can think you're in the zone and you come back the next day and have a listen to it and you go, no, thank you.
Yep.
No one is ever going to hear that.
Gosh, it's so fascinating. I love to hear about people's process. So it's very, very cool to hear. Thank you. So talking about the album in general, the 10 tracks, what are some of the tracks that perhaps stick out to you in the album itself? Like, talking back to cohesion at the start, which one is perhaps the sore thumb, the runt of the litter, if there were any?
I'm not ready to pick one out as a runt just yet. I'm more, I can tell you, well, usually that takes me like possibly about 2 years from making the album to sort of look back on an album and go, nah, actually those ones are a bit shit. And I think that the delusion that I know that I feel when I'm making stuff that, like, this is just the best thing I've ever done and all of that. I just indulge that delusion because that gives me the enthusiasm and energy to go for it with the track. Like, if I'm working, like, I personally cannot indulge thoughts of, like, oh, I don't know. Like, if I start thinking that something's not that great, it's generally like, I just need to do this and this, and then the promise or the potential of the track will be realized. Like, I never kind of go, this one's shit. Well, no, I do discard them. But so if they're on the album, I haven't thought that. But anyway, probably about 2 years after the album is when I will go back to it and I'll go, nah, you know what? That one's not that great. You know?
Yes.
So it takes me a while before I'm willing to... to do that.
To say
I think.
It, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Not before I'm willing to, but where I have like the clarity or something or anything approaching objectivity, you know what I mean?
Yeah, willing and able, for sure.
That's right.
I asked that
but
very...
I can tell you what my highlights are.
Please. Yes, I ask it very pointed because I don't think there is any, so that's why.
I think that for me, I'm a bit out of shape. The track was the one that felt good, and I remember when I played it to Conrad from the Phoenix Foundation, he goes, this is like you've managed to keep your cool demo sound, make it sound like a finished track, but retain the, like, odd or, you know, cool demo sound, because sometimes when you start working on something, or when I start working on something, it has a funny drum machine, it's got a funny little sound, and I will admit that maybe occasionally that's been lost, you know, when you actually finish the album, and then you go back to the demo and you go, oh, you know what, this has actually had a slightly more unique sound. So I'm a bit out of shape. I was quite happy with the fact that it kept having the cool, weird drum machine, which also I played on an electric drum kit.
Nice.
Like my son's electric drum kit, which was one of the most fun sessions I've ever had in the garage. Absolutely stonkingly hot day in Wellington, which probably means it was like 19 degrees or something, right?
To be fair.
Yeah, so, and there's like a really quite a crazy guitar sound for the solo, which I was pretty chuffed with when I stumbled upon. So that'd be one of my highlight tracks for sure.
Heck yeah. So last thing I want to say is, considering it's been 12 years since your last solo release, I guess comparing it to Vesuvius and Special Surprise, how do you feel about Buddha, and what does the future hold for you?
Well, actually, I find those albums, look, this is kind of like a funny thing to say, because I know some people are really into those old albums, but they've aged sort of quite bad for me in general, mostly because of the lyrics, where I find that the first album I find is a little bit too sincere and the second one's a little bit too cynical. So I was very conscious of that when I was making this new one, of just not indulging that shit too much. And so hopefully what the future holds, that I won't look back on Buddha and be like, oh, these lyrics, I actually find them a bit... I'm actually a bit embarrassed by them, and I will be able to accept it. And I think at this stage I'm feeling like hopefully I got the balance of the cynical and the sincere.
I think so, yeah, for sure.
Hopefully I balanced those flavours correctly.
Yes, it'll age like fine wine instead of milk, indeed.
Yes, ooh.
So thank you so much, Luke Murder, for coming onto the show this morning. I've loved this kōrero so much. And if you're listening in, you should be streaming the album. Get it in your ear holes. Do you have any final words for us?
Be nice to each other.
Yes. Enjoy the rest of your laundry and enjoy the rest of the morning.
Thank you very much.
Catch ya.
Peace out. Bye.